Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone listening today. This is Fingers Crossed. Hi, welcome back to our podcast. My name is Sierra, and this is my co-host,
Christy Vetter. Wow, that timing I thought was actually pretty good for us, unless it was extremely lagged online and we're not aware of it. But that was nice. I think we did well there.
We always have technical issues because we are the bi-coastal best friends. If you didn't know and you're new here, Christy lives in New York and I live in LA. So we're always recording remotely and at a 3-hour time difference across the country. But considering, I'm pretty impressed with how technology has allowed us to do this so far. So
yeah, I mean, if you didn't know, I think that's a good thing because we want it to seem like we're all just hanging out in the same room together, talking about burnout, talking about the things in life that are stressing us out, talking about good things, talking about whatever the hell we talk about on Fingers Crossed. So subscribe to the podcast if you're not already and come along for the journey. But today we're going all in with an episode that I think a lot of you will be very appreciative of or could relate to, or we just got a lot of responses and writings about.
A lot of responses.
Yeah. And I think a lot of us, especially I feel like in recent years where the kind of just general knowledge about burnout has come about and like more recognition for it being a real actual issue that affects a lot more than you might think. I think it'll be really good for us to talk about. So that's what we're talking about today. Stress, burnout, dealing with everything in life that you're trying to juggle and balance and all that good stuff or bad stuff or ugly stuff. But until then, first,
stressful stuff.
Yeah, all of that. We are going to get into a little bit of a life update. And when I say a little bit of a life update, we have a drum roll big life update that I'm so excited to talk about. That's not mine to share. So Sierra, take it away.
Like the time you announced my engagement for me. Thank you so much.
Okay. I thought I was just, I was trying to break it for you and not in a like stealing your thunder way, but just in a like, I don't know if you would have felt awkward, like, I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking in the moment. I was just really excited for you. I wasn't trying
to. It's okay. I know you are, and I appreciate it. It's fine. I'm not here to roast you. I'm just here to announce that I finally got a job. So yay for that.
I'm so excited for you.
So it's been like 3 months that I've been applying to jobs, and I signed the contract yesterday or 2 days ago, and then they signed their half the contract in a little DocuSign online thing, and it's very exciting to have it be official. Yeah, it's great. I have been so stressed about it. As you guys know, like, obviously applying to jobs is difficult, and it's really just frustrating when you're constantly like spending hours and hours going over a cover letter that could just be going into the void and never even responded to, that you just spent so much time on. Like, there's no,
it fatigues you for
sure. There's no guarantee of return on anything, so that's what's just so frustrating. Or like finding a job listing, you're like, oh my god, I absolutely love this, and like falling in love with it when there's like you have absolutely no idea that you're even qualified or considered, or they don't even have someone already picked out and they're just posting it as a formality, you know, like all the things that we know about job or applying to jobs. But I'm very excited. I will give more details about what the job is later, but it is in the kind of YouTube creative space. It's a full-time job. It'll be my very first full-time job, which is kind of a big deal because, again, I've worked definitely, I would say, the equivalent of full-time hours between like Horror Nights and Disney and princess parties and acting and restaurant work and, you know, all the million things I've done in my life, but I haven't ever worked like a full-time job at one place. So that will definitely be a big change for me. It's fully remote for now, so that will be fun joining the remote workers world. And I believe they're transitioning back into hybrid when things start, you know, getting a little bit more normal routine. But I'm very excited about it. I have been going back and forth between having bits of imposter syndrome, but also bits of confidence, feeling like nervous, but also excited, relieved, grateful, unsure, like all of the feelings. I mean, it's not like full-fledged like joy, just because, you know, it will be a big change. And I, you know, it will be new for me for sure, as well as like, you know, it's easy not to get wrapped up in like, well, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life? But it's like, I don't know. Like, you don't have to know. You know what I mean? Like, I just get very final about everything. But
Everything is temporary. And I think this will be whatever chapter it serves in your life, this is a great opportunity for you right now, I think. And I think it is just what you need, especially like fitting your lifestyle, like you said, like full time, you know, mm-hmm. dependable, also remote, so you can have flexibility that way. Because I know it was kind of like weighing on you. That contributed to burnout, I feel like, is the commuting of going in every day.
It really was, especially, yeah, with my old job being so far away and, you know, there not being any flexibility with remote stuff in a world that was pretty remote. So I'm very excited about that. And Jason starts, so I'm starting on Tuesday. So when this episode comes out will be my first day of work.
Everyone go DM Sierra and say congrats and wish her well on her first day. That'll help.
But Jason's first day at his new job is Monday. So we're just starting new jobs left and right. I feel like there's something in the air. A lot of friends I know are interviewing places and changing and doing stuff. So I don't know. I am really grateful. It's crazy because I interviewed with them about 2.5 weeks ago, and then I heard nothing after the interview. I sent a follow-up with some information that they had asked for, and then nothing. Crickets, radio silence for like 2.5 weeks, and I just assumed another one bites the dust. I didn't get it. But then they reached out with an offer this week, like not even a second interview or anything. So mm-hmm. I was just super...
Like a week ago today, you didn't even know that this was happening. And now it's like such a quick turnaround. Yeah.
Just Monday evening, I was like working on literally applying, working on a cover letter for another job I was going to apply to. And then the email comes in at like 4 p.m. that was like, congratulations, we'd like to offer you a full-time salaried position at XYZ company, blah, blah. And I was like, you what?
You're like, am I awake Ooh. Right now?
I'm like, is this for this Sierra Green or was this for the other Sierra Green who applied for this position? Because like, I'm not sure at this point. But I'm super grateful, really excited to start.
You deserve every exciting new part of it. I'm just very thrilled for you. Because I know that, you know, I know I've been there. It's a tough process. And I've been with you throughout this process of like, it's very taxing.
All my bad days when we've tried to record or have a phone conversation, I'm just sitting on the floor crying and we're like, okay, we'll talk another time.
But also I feel like that's an aspect of burnout that's just also different. Like we're going to talk about this in the episode, obviously, but I feel like a lot of people attribute burnout to just like, you know, working really hard at your job and career things or like juggling 5 different side hustles and everything. But I think sometimes burnout, even if it's not you putting in, you know, 10 hours a day to this really like, I don't know, I think it's like the emotional weight of just feeling like you should be, you know, that you're, this thing is weighing on you, that you don't have a job or that, you know, you're waiting on something or that you just feel like something's out of place in your life. Like that is also something that attributes to burnout because it's like always in the back of your head and like mm-hmm. very emotionally draining, a different part of it where it's not you maybe putting in like the physical hour, you know what I mean? But it is physical hours, but
yeah,
it's
exactly what you're saying. It's one thing to put in 4 hours when you know it's going to net you like a great project at work or something you're working on or like, you know, even editing an
episode.
There's
a guaranteed outcome.
This podcast,
yeah.
There's, I know it's going to be put up at this time and people are going to listen to it and enjoy it. Like there's, like you said, a guaranteed outcome. But when you're putting in hours of work in your day to something that could just and likely will go nowhere because the reality is you don't get most of the jobs you apply for, you know, it just leaves you feeling kind of, it really affected my self-esteem because it was mm-hmm. like, I didn't, especially because I have such a productivity complex that I am working on. It's just really hard to feel like you spent your entire day being productive, but it could amount to nothing. Right. But, you know,
or even that, like, when you take a moment for yourself, you take a beat and you're like, I just need to step away from this. Then you still feel the stress of like, but I don't have a job and someone else who is applying to a job that I could get right now. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, it's like,
of course. Yes. Literally my all day, every day. And this is because I'm going to actually, as soon as we finish recording this episode, I'm going to head out to Vegas. I'm going to go spend the weekend with my family.
She's going to go spend the weekend gambling to celebrate.
Spend all the money that I haven't received yet. No, but this is the first time I'm going to feel like I can really like let loose and just not feel guilt. If I just like sit around in my sweatpants and watch movies with my family all weekend, I won't feel bad about it. And I'm just going to chill. And not that anyone should ever feel bad about it.
Right.
But it's like there's always in the back of my mind, like, you don't have a job yet. Where's your income coming from?
Right.
Sierra?
Like you don't deserve rest time because you're not hustling to get this. Yeah, I know that feeling. And I honestly, I think the best position to be in ever, which I know you only have 3 days ahead of you of it. Right. But like when you get a job, you have it lined up and you're starting in like 2 weeks and then you just have time where you don't have that thing, that boulder that you're trying to carry on your shoulders. You know that it's coming, but you can actually like relax for a minute and like, you know, like you said, just relax and not feel guilty about it and know that like you are going towards that. So mm-hmm. this is just a golden weekend for you. So enjoy it, you know, take the time off, do whatever in, refills you, and spending the time with your family, I think, will be great before you start.
I'm very excited. It's really crazy when I hear about people who are like that naturally. Like Jason is like that. That feeling I'm going to have this weekend of like, there's nothing weighing on my shoulders. I'm living in the moment. I'm not stressed about the future. Like, he's like that all the time. Like, even when he's not, like, when he doesn't have a job, when he's got this huge project over his head, he's just so freaking
mellow.
Zen and mellow. And I'm like, how do you do that? I don't understand. But anyway, I'm looking forward to a brief respite of it this weekend. So that will be very nice. And yeah, I can't wait to give you guys updates like later in future episodes on like how working a remote job is, a 9-to-5 job, full time. Like, I'm sure there'll be lots of ups and downs. I can't wait to update you guys because again, it's new for me, but I'm so excited. And I hope this isn't selfish to say, I told this to my friend and she was like, no, but I was like, I'm really excited to be like making more money because like working a full-time job, obviously I'm making more money than I am like just at part-time jobs, as well as also like having benefits and stuff like that and like paid time off and all of that. So
that's definitely not a selfish thing to say. Everyone, you know, especially being in the place where you like want to work your way up, you always want to be like moving forward and, you know, making more that reflects the work you're putting in. So I think that's very much deserved and you should own it.
Thank you. I'm really excited and I can't wait to give you guys more updates later and let you know more about the job and what I'm doing and all that stuff. So yay. And speaking of jobs and life and all of that, do you have any updates for us, Christy, before we dive into our burn down episode, before we start burning down the house? Yeehaw.
All right, on that note, see you guys next week. Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I don't have any like monumental new giant things in my life. This last week has been, you know, very good is an interesting word. I don't know. It's been a lot, just with everything going on still, that's like, we're still adapting at work, with all the crisis mode and whatever. But, I felt very accomplished this week. I feel like I got to a place where, you know, with this project that I'm working on, this event that I'm pulling together, it did kind of stress me out more a few weeks ago, I think, when I was still trying to learn the ropes or like felt the weight of this being like my responsibility on my shoulders and not knowing how to go about it. But I feel like I finally kind of hit my stride and things are coming together and it's happening a week from Tuesday now. So it'll be over in a couple weeks and I'm feeling better about it. Like, I think I've gained some confidence in my own ability of this project and everything. So that's good. Yeah. So work-wise, things are solid. And I also went to 2 concerts this past week that I have not Ooh. Been to a concert literally in ages. Like, I went to GovBall in New York in September, but that was like a outdoor festival thing. Mm-hmm. But I just realized how much I really miss concerts and how much they really just refuel my soul. Just being in a room full of people that are, you know, enjoying the same music that you are and hearing them live and just like dancing. And I saw Patrick Droney, who's like a singer-songwriter kind of guy. I feel like you'd really like him, Sierra. Mm-hmm. On Thursday, I think. Did I talk about that last week? Because I feel like that happened before we recorded.
I don't think I did. So.
Yeah. And then I saw Hippocampus on Tuesday and it was just, I don't know. It just refreshed my soul. And I feel like that's the kind of thing where, you know, when you are feeling super stressed and burnt out, just taking the time to recognize like having one night where you maybe splurge some of your money on a ticket to something that's actually going to like just make you forget everything that's stressing you out or like have that moment of, you know, this is something I've been looking forward to for a long time. Like those kind of things are so, so important to work into your life. And I feel like I just had that moment of gratitude with that, just realizing how much like this is what I love to do. Like, honestly, I feel like what I like to spend my money on is concerts and experiences and things. So it was just good to like have that in the middle of the week too, when it's a lot of things are going on and life weighs on you. But just having that, you know, just a couple hours away from it was good. Anyway,
that's good. I'm so glad. It's good to have fun. Refreshing your soul is one of the things you need to do to help, you know, prevent burnout.
Exactly. I'm just enjoying life at this point. I feel like I'm in that cruising point, you know, that's that you talked about where things are like decently good in place, and I'm trying to soak it in while it's here before something disastrous happens. For me, like personally, not in the world, because there's always disastrous things happening, but
it's good to enjoy coasting when you can, because before you know it, you won't be able to coast anymore because something's going to happen. And yeah, that's just exactly. life. So when you're in it, exactly. it's good to enjoy it. Absolutely.
Amen to that. So on that note, shall we get into the episode and talk about burnout?
Burnout, stress, and finding balance. But first,
MeUndies,
a word from our sponsor. So today's episode is sponsored by MeUndies. So we have all been shopping and you're trying stuff on and nothing fits right. It's really frustrating and we've all been there, especially finding your perfect size when it comes to things like undergarments, bras, underwear, loungewear. It's so varied and things either fit like a glove or you're just really frustrated not having a good time. So that is why MeUndies has the softest undies, bralettes, loungewear, and so much more that are made to fit just right.
I love my pair of MeUndies because they're so soft and comfortable and really just feel good under a variety of outfits. I feel like that's the one thing about underwear where it can kind of vary, where it's like, yeah, this is good, but I can only wear it under like X, Y, and Z. But I feel like MeUndies, the one I have, is just like very versatile. And they have a ton of other things too, like sleepwear, you know, custom. They have like sweatsuits and stuff, I think. They have like PJs, all that good stuff. They believe that comfort is more than what's touching your skin. It's about feeling comfortable in your skin. So it starts with finding the perfect fit and size for you, which is why their wear tests and sizes run from extra small to 4XL in everything they make, which is really nice. And they also offer different cuts for different butts.
It's like different strokes for different folks, but about your butt. I love it.
Exactly. And adventurous prints. Sierra has a nice printed one. You have the Valentine's.
I got the Valentine's Day printed ones. I have little hearts all over them. Yeah, they're fun.
Different themes.
I like themes.
So you can find comfort in your size so the world can be a happier and comfier place for every body and every booty.
MeUndies promises that if you're not comfortable with any product for any reason, you can return your order for a full refund within 45 days. MeUndies has a great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, you can get 15% off and free shipping right to your door. So to get 15% off that first order, free shipping, and an 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/fingers crossed. That's MeUndies.com/fingers crossed for 15% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee.
So, burnout. We've all been there. Whether or not you've realized it, I feel like we've all been there. Like, I don't know if there's anyone who's ever escaped the clutches of burnout from one degree to another, and there are varying degrees of it, and it also looks different from person to person, I think. And I think that's why it's important to talk about, because sometimes you might be listening to this and you're burnt out as hell, but you would never think to say that because you don't actually believe that you are, or maybe you're expecting it to manifest in a different way than it actually has for you. So we want to talk about it.
Yeah, or you've been living with burnout and like fatigue,
it's just normalized
for so long. Yeah. You don't know how to live without it. Like, you don't know what life looks like without being completely overwhelmed and burnt out about everything. And also, a lot of your friends are burnt out. A lot of your, you know, your peers, your coworkers, we're all in this perpetual state of stress because we just all have so much on our plates that, again, because it's happening so widespread, it's become so normalized. But that doesn't, just because it's normal doesn't mean it's what should be happening, nor is it what's good for your body. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I mean, life is just, life is a lot of stress in general. Like, we all have a lot of things going on. And this also, I don't want this episode to just be like a, if you've ever read Untamed by Glennon Doyle, she talks about like she who suffers more, like everyone wants to act like they have more problems and more responsibilities and more stress than everyone else kind of thing. And I feel like it's very easy to get caught up in that when you're talking about burnout, because you're like, well, why would that person be burnt out? Like, I do what they do and I sell things on Etsy, or and I have a relationship that I'm trying to maintain, and X,
and
y,
I have
and
Z. I have a toddler, like whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It becomes a comparison thing. It's like, oh, well, if I had their life, I wouldn't be burnt out. So they don't have a reason to be burnt out. And I think that's just it.
Yeah.
It's like, again, creating that competitive, like frustrative, like culture where everyone's just like mad at each other and angry and jealous,
right?
Because the reality is it's resentful because you just wish that your own plate was less full.
Yeah.
And so then you see someone with a little bit less than you on their plate and you're like, they should have no reason to be stressed out.
But also I feel like it comes from a place sometimes of people like, the grass is always greener, in a sense that they may like act like they're angry about it, but it's also a place of jealousy where they think that someone has it easier than them. And so they're like, angry that they're not stressed out. You know what I mean? Like, I see it a lot with, and there's some truth to this, obviously, but a lot of people are like, well, influencers don't do anything and they have it so easy. And like, yeah, sure, they do monetize like things that look easy, but there is a lot of back end work. And I'm not trying to say that influencers have a hard life and blah, blah, blah. But I'm just saying it's very easy to project what you think should be. You know, you're like, if I was there, I would be so in a better place and I wouldn't be stressed and my life would be better. So it makes you, it kind of consoles you in a way where you're like, well, they're not doing as much and my life is a lot harder and they should feel bad for, you know, not hustling as hard as I, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like a weird hustle culture trap of everyone is looking at other people in a way of to make themselves feel better. But it doesn't really do that because you're just like perpetuating more negativity in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it's not productive to shame someone else for where you think their level of stress or burnout should be in relation to yours. You know what I mean? Like, it gets to be very toxic.
Everyone's threshold is different, you know, and you don't know what people are dealing with in their life. Again, and that's, this isn't the whole purpose of the episode. It's just about like this jealousy comparison thing, because we should totally do a whole separate episode on that at a later date. But people's thresholds are different, and maybe they've gone through different life events. Maybe they are, their levels of stress are different. Maybe they have anxiety. Like, maybe there are so many things that go into like the, I guess, the chemical, what do you call it, like the witch's brew that makes people, and I'm just picturing someone pouring in different like little
sugar,
bits of potions.
And everything nice, chemical X, like stress, anxiety, and they're everything. Pouring in. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, there's just, you never know what's going on with anybody, but we want to talk about this first article that we pulled up to discuss for this episode, which is a BuzzFeed News article. We'll link it in our episode notes, but it's called How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation. And I feel like that's already validating in itself just as a title, because you're not alone. And if it's anything from the amount of responses we got, like, this is something that is just affecting everybody.
And also, I feel like it's, I kind of wanted to touch on this in the terms of like, I mean, maybe the article does say this too, but I think a lot of us, you know, around our age or in millennials or, you know, Gen Z, whatever, grew up with the hustle culture, glamorized kind of culture, where, you know, I feel like it was more, you know, early 2010s, mid 2010s. I feel like it's a recent revelation where it's, you know, hustle culture is wrong and it's important to prioritize rest and take care of yourself. Like, I think a lot of us were pushed with that girl boss era of like, build your empire and keep your head down until everything is perfect and go, 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 and always be working and all of that, where it was glamorized to a point where no one was talking about how detrimental that can be when you're just working yourself into the ground and not giving yourself a second to breathe or take care of yourself in a way that's personal to you that would actually be sustainable for your life. Because hustle culture only works until you literally collapse from burnout.
Right. And literally in college, my go-to joking line, because I would always put 5,000 things on my plate and make it a personality trait. Wow, that rhymed. Is I would
see, you're working on the MeUndies.
I'm MeUndies. Better nuts for better butts. Or what was this saying? Please keep that in. I don't remember. What was it?
Better cuts for better butts.
Better cuts for better butts. I don't even know what I said. Okay, that got weird really fast. Anyway, back to what I was saying. I used to always joke about in college, you know, when I would have a million things on my plate because it was the fun thing to do, I would always say, oh, well, I'll sleep when I'm dead. I'll sleep when I'm dead. Someone's like, oh, wow, you've got really all that. Or blah, blah. You were up till 2 a.m. doing 3 a.m. doing blah, blah. Oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. And I thought it was like this funny, quirky, like, oh, I can do so much on so little sleep because I'm so accomplished and girl boss, hustle, whatever. And I remember even, you know, when I was out of college, I would love making these Instagram stories sort of like detailing everything I had done in a day. I would be like, 5:30 a.m., wake up, drive to Disney. Disney shift from this time to this time, drive to Universal, do this and this, cook dinner, run the LA marathon, solve world hunger, like all these things on my list that I'd be like, oh, look at all these things I'm doing. Just for the sake of like bragging about it. But now, like looking back at that and being like where I'm at now and everything, if I had a friend who was doing that, I would be like, please stop. Like, you don't need to like brag about how busy you are. Like, that's not a plus. Like, you just look like you are overworking yourself and you don't know how to rest. And now, like, when I do share things from time to time, I'm much more like, oh, I want to share like this fun time I'm having with my friend, or this pretty thing, or like, you know, this movie I'm watching, like, you know, just much more real stuff. So I like, while I feel like there has been a shift in culture, I'm just saying I've noticed it in myself too, that like, I don't feel the pressure to be, you know, superwoman as much anymore as I used to.
Yeah, I feel that too. I've been in that same position, but I feel like it was less so, I think everyone has like a different motivation behind why they burn themselves out or why they feel like they need to do X, Y, and Z. I feel like yours was more like you wanted, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like you wanted to show the world that you were doing a lot kind of thing. Especially I feel like it might be related to your Enneagram, since you were an Enneagram 3, which is like really driven by, what is it? It's like driven by accomplishments or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But mine, I feel like it was more of a just, I felt like I had to be doing something all the time for myself. Like I was like, you know, I'm not going to get to my goals if I have an hour where I'm not doing something. Like I needed to be like constantly accomplishing a million things, like working and in school and doing YouTube and blah, blah, blah. Like everything was just, I don't know. It was just like part of my identity too, in a way, but I feel like it was a more internalized version, and not that one is like better than the other, but I think it just goes to show that like everyone has different ways that they identify with burnout and like how they, I think that's where it gets dangerous, is it becomes a personality trait, you know, whether that's yeah. like a quirky, yeah, I'll sleep when I'm dead, which I definitely used to say that kind of thing too. Or like, I don't want to be left out of anything. Or like, I, you know, have all these commitments that I told people I would do, so I can't let them down kind of thing. Like they're, you know, based in other people relying on me, which is also very valid. But I think sometimes we overcommit ourselves when we don't need to keep that up, to feel like, you know, other people need me. For some people, it might be it. So I think it's interesting to look at where it comes from internally for you and what drives it and how you can satisfy that core need with other things that are more healthy than just like taking on a million things and acting like that is who you are, when it's really not. Like, we're not what we do. Who we are is separate from what we do. And I think when we intertwine them too closely like that, it's when it gets kind of dangerous and can be very susceptible to burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So diving into this episode, it's really, really long. I highly encourage you guys. Yeah, this article. I highly encourage you guys to read this entire thing on your own time, because it's really validating and makes a ton of sense. But it is so long that we can't possibly read the entire thing in this episode, or it would be the whole episode. But it starts with a bunch of different examples from the author of like things that lead to burnout. And we'll talk about a few of those in a minute. But halfway through, she gets to the point where she says, all of this optimization as children in college online culminates in the dominant millennial condition. Because remember, the title of this, as we mentioned like 20 minutes ago, was How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation.
This is the BuzzFeed one. We'll link it in the description.
Yes. Burnout was first recognized as a psychological diagnosis in 1974, applied by psychologist Herbert Freudenberger, if I pronounce that correctly, to cases of physical or mental collapse caused by overwork or stress. Burnout is of a substantively different category than exhaustion, although it's related. Exhaustion means going to the point where you can't go any further. Burnout means reaching that point and pushing yourself to keep going, whether for days or weeks or years. What's worse, the feeling of accomplishment that follows an exhausting task, passing the final, finishing that massive work project, never comes. The exhaustion experienced in burnout combines an intense yearning for this state of completion with the tormenting sense that it cannot be attained. Then there's always some demand or anxiety or distraction which cannot be silenced.
I feel like I would challenge that a little bit, because I feel like for some people, or maybe just on different levels, I think sometimes there is like a slight sense of accomplishment or some sort of validation that makes you almost addicted to it more. Like if you had someone say to you like, wow, I'm so impressed by all that you do. Like, how do you do it? And then that addiction of like, oh, you get a high from someone admiring that you're, you know, juggling a million things, like that makes you want to do it more almost. So I feel like, yes, there's truth to the true sense of accomplishment never really comes and you're just forever chasing something. But I think along the way, little things will validate it. And kind of how like when people are saying, oh, you look so skinny, and then, sorry if that's like triggering, but you know what I mean? Like when people are doing unhealthy things and then people validate it unknowingly that they're doing it in an unhealthy way and it makes them want to keep going. You know what I mean? I think it could be the same thing where you have external validation along the way of burning yourself out that makes you think that it's a good thing.
Or conversely, like not even if someone like is purposefully trying to stack all this stuff on them. It just could also be that with, you know, the culture of social media, which is a big part of what we talked, what this episode talks about later, is the feeling that you don't deserve to rest. That, like, you know, everyone else is, you know, the comparative thing that we talked about earlier, that, like, you know, everyone is doing so much that, like, you don't deserve to rest, or that if you take a break, you're lazy. Or, and that's something I personally have struggled with a ton, is, you know, I call it my productivity complex, that, you know, I only deserve to rest if I've done so much, you know.
But when you think of this, like, not even a realistic amount of things too.
No, yeah. Or that I can't, you know, I can't enjoy, you know, life's simple pleasures until I've, you know, grinded to the point of being miserable. But when you think about, like, biology and, like, you know, our ancestors and, like, the human body and, like, what it's been through, like, it wasn't like that until recently. I feel like, you know, people would, you know, they would work, they would do their thing, but, you know, we can talk about the, you know, the regular 9 to 5 and how it was structured, you know, like, in several generations past. You know, the person who worked didn't do the laundry, they didn't cook, they didn't clean, you mm-hmm. know, they didn't have to do any of that stuff, they didn't have to do errands. You had one full-time home person and one full-time working person, and you made enough money to live. Like, and that just doesn't exist anymore. So,
right, like society's changed in ways that other aspects of it haven't caught up with. Like, we are just all doing everything now. Instead of those gender or, you know, certain roles that people fill, we're all filling all those roles ourselves in a lot of ways. And not everyone, but generally, I think that's a big reason that millennials have become this burnout generation. And also with social media and the comparison too, it's just like a big storm of, I need to do everything all the time, you know, like what you're saying.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, I mean, I feel fortunate in the sense that I live with my fiance. So while we're both working but we also share the burden of things like cooking and cleaning. And if one of us really is just so exhausted and can't cook, the other one will cook. And if someone is really like I can't do my dishes, Jason will do my dishes. You know, like, I have someone to at least share some of those things with. I'll do his laundry, he'll do my dishes. Mm-hmm. You know, things like that, depending on who's got time. But when you're single and living alone, everything falls on you, and you're working full time. You're also trying to exercise, maintain your friendships, do all those chores, do errands. Like, I don't effing know how people are supposed to maintain this without going freaking insane. Like, mm-hmm. I do not know. Like, there's a reason why everyone's just burnt out and depressed. Anyway, so back to the article. Josh Cohen, a psychoanalyst specializing in burnout, writes, "You feel burnt out when you've exhausted all your internal resources, yet cannot free yourself of the nervous compulsion to go on regardless. Melancholic world weariness," as he puts it, and that's noted in the book of Ecclesiastes, diagnosed by Hippocrates and endemic to the Renaissance, a system of bewilderment with the feeling of relentless change.
Also, can we just applaud how many big words you just tackled in that sentence?
Yeah, that was a lot. Thank you. I was like, God, don't sound stupid. You did it so well. Don't sound stupid. Don't sound stupid.
There's more to come.
It afflicted fewer individuals in those earlier years, but now, particularly among millennials, it is a very common contemporary condition.
It is the contemporary condition, this article puts it.
Yes,
but yeah, I think that's the thing. It's like, we've just become accustomed, which is why a lot of people might not even be aware of it or think that they have it, because it's just so normal now that it's, you know, we're all doing a million things and we all have so many things pulling us in different directions that, you know, we want to do well at, and maybe we try and prioritize them a certain way, but still get caught up in the, like, I can be doing more, or just trying to stay afloat or keep up with the Joneses or whatever it is that's motivating you. But I feel like it is just the norm of life now.
Yeah.
It's just burnout and constantly go, go, go.
I'm going to read this next part because it's very validating to me as a millennial. Because I'm sure you all have heard the people complaining about, oh, millennials are the lazy generation. They're so entitled. They expect this and this. They've killed the this and this. So this article talks about this. One of the ways to think through the mechanics of millennial burnout is by looking closely at the various objects and industries that our generation has supposedly killed, in quotes. We've killed diamonds because we're getting married later or not at all. And when we do, it's rare for one partner to have the financial stability to set aside the traditional 2-month salary for a diamond engagement ring. We're blamed for killing antiques, opting instead for fast furniture, not because we hate our grandparents' luxury old items, but because we're chasing stable employment across the country, and lugging old heirloom furniture and fragile china costs money that we don't have. We've exchanged sit-down casual dining for fast things like Chipotle, because if we're going to pay for something, it should either be an experience worth waiting in line for or efficient as hell. Even other trends millennials have popularized, like athleisure, speak to our self-optimization, not laziness. Yoga pants might look sloppy to your mom, but they're efficient. You can transition seamlessly from an exercise class to a Skype meeting to picking up your kid. We use Fresh Direct and Amazon because of the time they save us, allow us to do more work. This is why the fundamental criticism of millennials that we're lazy and entitled is so insanely frustrating. I added insanely, that wasn't in the article. We hustle so hard that we've figured out how to avoid wasting time eating meals and that are called entitled for asking for fair compensation and benefits like working remotely, adequate healthcare and 401ks, so that we can theoretically stop working at some point before the day we die. We are called whiny for talking frankly about how much we do work or how exhausted we are by it. But because overworking for less money isn't always visible, because job hunting now means trawling LinkedIn, because overtime now means replying to emails in bed, the extent of our labor is often ignored or degraded. And it goes on and on. There are so many things. But just reading that to me was like, oh, God, yes. Like people who say like, oh, millennials are killing this and this. Like it's a different world and we are evolving because of it. And we have had to evolve to survive. Like, you know, things like inheriting china and furniture. It's like, yeah, if you're chasing across the country for a job, you know, you don't want to be bringing this stuff with you. You want to be able to be mobile and, you know, reality is focus your labors on other things.
Yeah. Or people like lived closer to their families then. And now people like urbanization, people are moving to cities more where they are pulled further away from their families. I think I don't have data to bring this up, but just in my experience, it seems like that's more common.
And people were buying homes. You know, people weren't just renting little one bedroom and studio apartments. And then when their rent goes up too high, moving to the next apartment, like people were buying homes when they were in their 20s where they could actually put down roots and take their grandmother's antique armoire and treasure it in the living room for 20 years. Like, that's just not happening now.
Okay, so another aspect that this article highlights that I thought was really interesting, because personally, I haven't thought about it in the context of burnout, but they talk about this concept of errand paralysis. So it opens the article talking about how the author was talking to a friend who was saying, I tried to register for the election, but it was beyond the deadline by the time I tried to do it, saying, I hate mailing stuff. It gives me anxiety. He outlined the reasons why he, like 11 other millennials interviewed by the magazine, probably wouldn't vote in the election. The amount of work, logically, isn't that much, he said. Fill out a form, mail it, go to the specific place on a specific day, but those kind of tasks can be hard for me to do if I'm not enthusiastic about it. So they go on to talk about that and how the author seemed to, you know, think that that seemed a little ridiculous, but then started to think about how that looked in their own life. It's kind of like how the term adulting has become a thing. It's like a word that millennials invented as a catch-all for the tasks of self-sufficient existence. That's how they describe it in this article, which is funny. So expressions of adulting often come off as privileged astonishment at the realities of life. You have to pay bills and go to work. You have to buy food and cook it if you want to eat it. The actions have consequences. Adulting is hard because life is hard. Or as a Bustle article admonishes. Okay. Or as a Bustle article says, everything is hard if you want to look at it that way. So it kind of goes back into the, because this article is based around millennial, you know, culture and happenings, but it kind of talks about how none of the tasks on your to-do list, or the author says, I'd put something on my weekly to-do list and then it would roll over 1 week to the next, haunting me for months. None of the tasks were that hard. Getting knives sharpened, taking boots to the cobbler, registering my dog for a new license, sending some of the signed copy of my book, scheduling an appointment with the dermatologist, blah, blah, blah. Handful of emails, one from a dear friend, one from a former student asking how life was going, festered in my personal inbox, which I use as a sort of alternative to-do list, to the point where I started calling it inbox of shame. And I don't know about you, but I literally have, as I'm reading this, I'm looking at my email inbox and there's like the notification thing that still says like 5 emails, and I know exactly what they are, and they're not new emails, and they're ones that I just cannot bring myself to respond to, because it'll be, it's like something about, I mean, this isn't all personal stuff, but it's like tax things, or like someone's waiting on me to send something this way, and it's like also little things on my to-do list. I'm also looking at my suitcase right now that is broken. If you remember the story of when I broke my damn suitcase last time I was in Belgium, and I still have not gotten it fixed. And I even went online, filed a report with Samsonite. I don't think I printed the forms yet, but I have the forms. I know where I need to take the suitcase, and I have not taken it in. And I told myself I was going to do that this morning. Didn't do that. I had to do something else. But I definitely resonate with this errand paralysis, and I'll go on to explain it more. But I think you could probably think of 3 or 4 things off the top of your head right now that you've been putting off that are literally going to take you 5 minutes. Okay, maybe taking my suitcase would take like an hour. I don't know. It's not that far away, regardless. but would be super easy, yeah, that we just put off. Agree. Like,
I have a pile. I have a pile on my kitchen table. I call it my doom pile, and it has moved from
inbox of shame,
kitchen table. Yeah, little inbox of shame, doom pile. Like, I've moved it to the, and now I've got a binder for it. So now it's my doom binder. But it's a combination of like medical forms, tax forms, like stuff I need to deal with my insurance, like somebody I have to call, like a form that had to do with this prescription I was trying to get authorized that then I didn't do it. Like the author says, it was only authorized for 1 week. I didn't open the envelope because it was from my insurance. I didn't want to open it. Open the envelope for 1 week. So then when I did open it, it had expired. I called my pharmacist and I was like, hey, I had this authorization, but I didn't, you know, do it in times of great. We have to start from scratch now with the authorization process. And it was 100% my fault because I left the unopened envelope in my doom pile for 1 week. Right. Like, it's just like, why do we do this? And I'm trying to understand, and I'm sure you'll get to it here in a minute with this article, Christy.
I'm about to tell you.
But like, for me, at least what I understand is when I have free time, I want to do whatever the F-U-C-K I want to do. I don't want to have to do my doom pile. I don't want to have to go through the inbox of shame. When I have free time, I want to lay on the couch. I want to read a book. I want to call my friends. Like, I don't, you know what I mean? So, and that's at least my personal experience, that ends up just sitting and sitting. And then the fact that I've spent so long to get to it, I feel embarrassed that how long it's taken me. So I don't even want to get to it, because then I'm like, these people are going to know how long this took me to do this. Anyway, please continue. Yeah.
I feel you. Definitely with you there. But this article goes on to say, it's not as if I were slacking in the rest of my life. I published stories, was writing 2 books, making meals, executing a move across the country, planning trips, paying my student loans, exercising on a regular basis. But when it came to the mundane, the medium priority, the stuff that wouldn't make my job or my work better, I avoided it. My shame about these errands expands with each day. I remind myself that my mom pretty much was always doing errands. Did she like them? No, but she got them done. So why couldn't I get it together, especially when the tasks were all at first glance easily completed? I realized that the vast majority of these tasks share a common denominator. Their primary beneficiary is me, but not in a way that would actually drastically improve my life. They're seemingly high effort, low reward tasks, and they paralyze me, not unlike the way registering to vote paralyzed millennial Tim. So I think that's so interesting, because it's like, yeah, the kind of thing where it's not even like a long-term gratification or instant gratification. Like, instant gratification would be going to get a drink with your friend when you have an hour off, or reading your book, like you said. And that, like, you know, it's going to replenish you now. But I mean, I guess it's kind of long-term gratification, but you filing that insurance thing isn't going to make your life that much easier on the outside, you know what I mean? Or like on the, it's just a medium priority, low reward. I get what she's saying. Like, it's just kind of like a weird in between of, yes, I know it'll cause me stress by not doing it, but it's, I don't have enough motivation to do it because I have more energy I need to put into work, to hustling. And then that other time you want to spend in like the short term gratification stuff that's going to like make you relax. So it's just like an interesting thing. Like, I think also how she mentioned it kind of goes back to, you know, oh, my mom was always getting errands done, and maybe her mom was a stay-at-home mom or something, where it was a more traditional, you know, nuclear family, and what we were talking about of like women used to stay home, men used to work, kind of thing, where then those things could get done more. Or maybe she was a working mom and she just didn't have the same burnout. I don't know. But I think it just goes to show that with all of these things piled on us, some interesting ways that things fall through the cracks, where it's like, yeah, this is important, but I don't prioritize it because it's like not a hustle work thing or a like friend.
But it's not
social,
like essential to survival. Like, yeah, you know, like it's like they can be put off. So they do. But then the guilt of the fact that you're constantly putting them off just makes you feel awful about yourself. And then you're like, am I so lazy that I cannot take this damn box to the post office? Mm-hmm. But yet it sits in the doom pile for like 3 weeks. And then and then someone messages me and is like, where the F is this box? And I'm like, oh God, it must have been lost in the mail. And I'm like, by lost in the mail, it's lost doom in my pile. Doom pile. Yeah.
Literally. I mean, I need to take my suitcase in. I also might be going on a trip, so like I need to use it. But again, it's like, it's not enough of a reward at the moment where it's worth it to me, because I could be spending my time recording this podcast or doing work or getting ahead of, you know what I mean? We mm-hmm. always have other things where it's like the priorities just get muddled with the amount of things we have to do and how burnt out we feel from the heavy, you know, lifting things.
Yeah.
So a very interesting concept. Let us know what the tasks on your to-do list that are driving you crazy are, because I think we can all relate to that. And honestly, just reading that and hearing yours too, like, make me feel better. Like, mm-hmm. I know that I'm not alone in that, but just hearing that, like, small things also weigh on other people in the same way.
And just, yeah, realizing that other people have an inbox of shame or a doom pile. Like I got the term doom pile from another person.
Really?
Who's like, yeah, like, I gotta, I just gotta go through my doom pile. I was like, holy, you have a doom pile too? And they're like, yeah, I was like, oh my God, I'm not crazy.
Oh man. Anyway, so yeah, that was a really interesting article and we didn't even scratch the surface of it. So it'll be linked down below. But we do want to get to some of the things that you all wrote in about burnout. So Sierra, would you like to explain some of the stories and questions that you asked?
Yeah, I'll just go through. So first of all, first thing we asked on the stories were, do you feel burdened by stress? Just regular poll, yes or no. 92% said all the time, 8% not so often. And to me, burdened by stress is like, it's not like, oh, do you feel stressed sometimes? Like, it's a burden. Like, you are dealing with it constantly. It is mm-hmm. like a reoccurring guest in your home and you don't want it there. So 92% of you said yes. So again, this is a very common thing. Next up, we asked, when did you feel the most stressed or overwhelmed? So tell us about a time you felt overwhelmed. So here are some of your responses. These are all short answers.
Hopefully you don't feel secondhand stress listening to these, but also it might make you feel less alone.
Yeah, absolutely.
First one, at work and planning my wedding, LOL. Sierra can relate. It's like you have that's a full-time job on its own, but then you also need to keep up your own life while you're planning this big event of your life. So
yeah, stressed. And I was trying to, you know, I felt guilty for doing wedding planning when I should be applying to jobs. And then mm-hmm. I would be trying to apply to jobs, but then I would have emails about wedding planning coming in. And I'm like, oh my God. Right. Anyway, next one says, I forgot that taking time for myself was essential and not selfish. See? There you go.
I'm expected to do added tasks at work without being given extra time. I feel like that's the main thing. And a lot of people wrote in about not having time for anything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's not that we don't have time. Like, we all have the same amount of hours in a day as Beyonce, blah, blah, blah. That classic quote, which is BS because, you know, Beyonce has resources too.
She does. Personal trainers.
But what I'm saying is that's the thing. It's like, you are able, we just have too many priorities to fit into those hours that everyone mm-hmm. has. Like, we all just keep piling on the things without, you know, having more time. So I feel that.
Yeah. This next one says, too many people expecting things from me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And whatever that could be with work and, you know, that could be, but I feel like we've often in this millennial world set a precedent of like, you know, that there is no such thing as too much. Like, you can always add on one more thing, whether that's from people expecting that of you or you expecting it of yourself, you know, and setting a precedent that, you know, people can always ask for one more thing because we're not really, you know, super comfortable or taught to advocate for ourselves. I feel like that's just now mm-hmm. we're starting to hit the tip of the iceberg with that.
Yeah. This one says, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing with my life and was running out of time. So I think that's another mm-hmm. thing that can be added stress is when you feel like, yeah, I'm on the hamster wheel of life and I'm doing all these tasks and like working and juggling things, but I don't even, it's kind of like when you don't have a guaranteed outcome where you're like, I don't even know if this is going to get me where I want to go or if this is going to be the fulfilling thing for me in the long run or if this is the right fit for my life path. Like, that is an added stress too, because you're like, you're in that, what if something else is better or what if I'm doing the wrong thing, which is a whole nother, you know, emotional draining aspect to add into it. So I could definitely see how that would add more stress on you.
This next one says, I feel overwhelmed when things don't go as planned. I need to go with the flow more. I can relate to this so much. I have such a hard time going with the flow. I wish I could just turn off a switch in my brain and change it. But I can't. Something that really helped me that I learned from one of my Calm Master classes is in situations where things aren't going as planned and I'm really starting to get irritated or frustrated is to just like check in with myself and be like, am I angry right now? because I can't change this situation. Or like, I'll ask myself, can I change this situation? Can I actually like if I'm sitting in traffic, or, you know, the cafe I had plans at was closed, like, can I change this? And if the answer is no, then I'd be like, am I angry right now because I want to change this? And if the answer is yes, then I'm like, I am angry for something I cannot affect, and mm-hmm. I cannot make a difference, and I need to like check in with myself and let it go. I'm not saying that's just this cure-all, but I learned that from a masterclass, and it's really helped me to, like, when I feel like anger and frustration rising up, just be like, is this coming from because I want to change a situation I can't change right now? And like 90% of the time it's yes.
Yeah, and when things don't go according to plan, it's often out of your control. So definitely mm-hmm. good to be aware of. This one says, when my dog died and I still had to function at work. I think that's also a huge thing, is like, we oftentimes, you know, you never know when traumatic things are going to happen, or when like you're going to experience a loss in your life, or just something just like shatters in your world, you know, and then suddenly you still have people waiting on you, or you still have responsibilities, or like the world doesn't stop, and then you're allotted this like very short grieving period, and then just expected to get back to life as normal. And that's definitely stressful, because you're not even allowed to heal to the fullest extent that you need to. And everyone's different in that too, where you're like still going to work when you're dealing with this and it's taking up your emotional energy. Like, I think it's also a huge problem in society.
This one says, I feel overwhelmed all the time with 18 units in college and 2 jobs plus a boyfriend and friends to hang out with. Yeah, and see, I feel like that's just so incredibly common, that we have so much on our plates that instead of doing like 1 or 2 things really well, we end up doing a bunch of things very like semi-adequately, yeah. You know?
And that's why it's hard to, like, I don't even know what good advice there is for that, because it's like, it's not like any of those things you can just give up. Like, maybe there are ways you could shift your time and priorities, but it's like, I've been there. Like, when I was in grad school, I was taking, you know, a lot of classes. I also had to get, you know, I was working full time because I had to have an internship credit and also like need experience to get a job later. And then I also was doing YouTube because I had to make money somehow, and because my internship wasn't paid. And then, you know what I mean? Like, we all have mm-hmm. things that just pile up, and you still want to maintain your friendships, and you still want to work out, and all of the just things that you're trying to replenish yourself with. But then for me, it was always sleep would be the first thing to go. And that's not good, because yep. that will catch up to you very quickly. And then you can't function on that. So it's really hard to find a sustainable path through. I mean, honestly, something I would tell myself during those times was like, well, this is only temporary, you know, like, I'm going to graduate eventually, and then I'm going to find a job, and then it'll be good once I have a stable 9-to-5 and blah, blah, blah. When in reality, like, other things will fill those times easily, because yeah. life doesn't stop. But it's not a healthy mentality, that like, I'll sleep when I'm dead kind of thing. And even telling yourself it's only temporary, like, sure, that'll get you so far, but that's not going to make it easier for you in the moment when you're dealing with all those things. So,
and we did want to address that, like, you know, some people that have to work 2 jobs, you know, are doing so because they need the money to survive. And right. there is a huge privilege around, you know, when people are able to take some time off, you know, and not work for a while, or move back home, or, you know, get financial support from parents. Like, there's a huge privilege in that. They're like, you know, a lot of times people who don't have those resources or those accessibilities, they are forced to be burnt out and to, you know, be at the literal end of their rope at all times. Because if they don't, they don't have food, like they don't have enough money. And
yeah, it's definitely a privileged thing, for sure.
It is. And it's, as I've been thinking about this and just going like reading these responses, which there are like 100 more, and thinking about burnout, is that burnout is not a personal problem. It's a systemic problem, especially for the millennial generation, because we are living in a world that has made it impossible to find balance unless you just are, I don't know, born into like tons of money or some kind of like setup. Like, it just really feels like the way things are set up, with the unaffordable housing and, you know, working crazy hours without good benefits, and the rising cost of health insurance, and, you know, the rising cost of inflation of food, and, like, you know, social media comparison. And it's just, I feel like we are living in such a different world than we used to. And it's like, if you want to function and stay afloat, as like afloat and like a competitive worker or person in this world, like, you have to do so much.
Yeah. And I think especially with the privilege thing, it just kind of perpetuates people being left behind, you know, like mm-hmm. people who don't have you know, generational wealth that can pay for their rent while they're in school, and then they're trying to work those jobs, like you said, you know, they might eventually get so burnt out to the point where something has to give and they just have to drop out and they don't get their degree, and then they don't advance in the same way that the person next to them in class whose parents were paying their rent, who didn't have to work a job, did, you know, like mm-hmm. it's very, and it's only getting worse, I feel like, with all those rising costs and the things that you're talking about, like it's very problematic and it is like a systemic thing. So again, we don't have answers to those problems necessarily, but I think it's important to check in with yourself. And in those times when there's just a lot of things pulling you and you feel like you can't stay afloat, you do have to, I think key things for me are asking for help where you can. And like for me, I could afford to, you know, for example, outsource editing my videos. So then that gave me some time and I could sleep more. And then it was a little more sustainable. So if that's something in your life where like there's something where if it's a pride thing where like, I just love that I can do everything and don't rely on anyone else, like maybe you just need to check in with yourself and say, yo, maybe this is somewhere where I could ask for help, or I could hire someone or outsource in a way, or have my parents, you know, watch my kids sometimes instead of me paying for babies. You know what I mean? Like, lean on your support systems and don't feel guilty about it if you're able to, I think is a great way. And also just really, really checking in with your priorities and saying, where is this a point where I'm in school right now? Maybe I can put something else on the back burner and like in a way that's not hurting anyone else, but just let them know like, hey, sorry if I'm not the best friend right now. I have a huge project at work that I need to prioritize. So just to let you know, if I'm not as responsive, like I'll be done with this in 3 months and then I'd love to hang out and go to your birthday. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. just not overcommitting yourself and being honest about the things that you can actually tackle. Because I think too often we want to be able to do everything and it just leads to us, you know, collapsing on our own. And you just have to let go of that pride, I think, for your own sake, to like save yourself in recognizing when you need rest, when you need help, and when you need to shift your priorities.
Yeah. So this poll, this other one we asked, we're going to end up wrapping up with this just because we've been going for about an hour and we still probably have about a good another hour's worth of content about burnout.
So many stories about, we want to read yet.
Like you guys sent us long responses that we want to read, as well as we have three other articles we want to touch on, including some about the biology of burnout and adrenal fatigue and all of that. So we're actually going to put that into a part two, another two for one, which is super fun. Wow. We are on it with the rhymes. I didn't even mean to do that. But before we sign off, I wanted to read this last poll, which is we asked on our Instagram story, do you feel you've experienced burnout? 94% of you said yes, with 6% saying, I don't think so. So this is clearly a chronic systemic problem. Like we said, it's not like the hundreds of you that responded to our story are all doing something wrong. There is something wrong with what like societally is going on. So if we can leave you with anything, just know that you are not alone. You are not screwed up. Like you are not failing somehow. Like this is just, it's a chronic issue that we are all trying to get through to find better balance. And we're going to talk in the next part of this episode, the part two, about more tips and ideas that you have that we've gained from articles and from our own experiences to help fight burnout. So I think we're going to wrap it up there.
And it is such a personal thing too, where it looks different for every person. So we do want to hear from you all, like what aspects of burnout affect you more and how comparison is fed into it for you as well, because I think that would be really interesting. So maybe we can post even more polls after this episode goes up and get more input based on what we said in this one and hear your feedback that we can incorporate into the next one. That would be awesome. So follow us at Fingers Crossed Pod to be a part of the conversation. Always, we're always hanging out there and chatting with you all. You can DM us whenever you want, and we'll see you next Tuesday for our second burnout episode. So look forward to it. More burnout. Until then, keep your fingers crossed.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.